韩木，菜，不菜，菜不，不，哦，不，那，啊，谁？Now the class some phrases, bottom of page 2. 早再见 Section 3, page...
Good morning, how are you? Apparently, I didn't go.
I also hear that you have to watch that level there.
What I would like to talk, my opinion from Mrs. Anna Maya, 53 years old. My opinion is this, that as an American as I am, I believe that our young boys and girls should have more of a chance to have more education. We don't want our boys to go to war. Our boys don't want a war, they want the chance to learn, to be the future of our country. If this country stands, for which we stand, individual, but it's invisible. Invisible why? Did anybody like to ask the question? It's because we don't know just what happened from one state to another, even in our own republic, United States of America. Why keep it invisible? Why not put in papers the truth? So we will find out. Or in other words, our young boys and girls, our students from the universities, which I am very proud of them, they want to get somewhere. They want more education. All of that money they're spending on war for no reason at all. They should spend it in our boys and girls, or this young generation, to get somewhere like Mr. Kennedy did, our young former president. God bless him, he's dead. Well, this is my opinion. We shouldn't live in this invisible America. This is an invisible America because a lot of people don't see the truth. We're so blind, we're so invisible, we don't see the suffering. The poor people like us, or our young students from universities of America, of this country. Me, as an American, I ask for freedom, for justice, and that liberty. Show us and show our young generation that this country really is a free country. And that our young generation will be the future of the country. Let us give a chance to those boys and girls to come to the president, to be senators, to get somewhere. These young boys and girls, they don't go very far with their education. Why? Because they're poor, Poor people, Henrik, we haven't got no chance at all. I didn't hit it in my time. I have that for experience. But I would like to see this new generation, boys and girls, to have it.
How far did you go?
I would like to say this. I want my country, as an American as I am, to give that chance to our boys. Instead of give them more, spend that money on their education so they could be the future of our country. Because we believe in our country. We love our country. Those young generation, young boys and girls, they love their country. And they have the right to fight for their rights, for their freedom. Freedom, that's freedom. If this country is a free country, let those boys have the freest speech. Let them tell you the way they feel. Give them a chance. The best thing that you could do, that this country could do, our president, Lyndon Johnson, is to give more chance to our young generation, a generation, boys and girls, to get somewhere like he did, but not as old as he did. Younger than that, they deserve to get to the president like President Kennedy did, our youngest president that we ever had in this country of United States of America. I didn't have very much education. I only went to the fifth grade. Why I didn't have much education? Because my family didn't have a chance to do it. 1930, when we were hungry, we didn't have a thing to eat. Schools were closed because children were sick. Did we Americans forget about 1930? Of course, some of these youngsters, this new generation, boys and girls, they probably don't know that, or they don't remember. Some of them, maybe they weren't born yet. But I do remember, and I wish that other women at my age, or older than me, will feel the same way I do, to cooperate with our young generations, to keep on. If colored people have the right to fight for the freedom, I guess every nation on this country has the same right. As you know that we have different nationalities in our country, and each one of us has the right to fight for our rights, for that freedom, for that justice, for that liberty. Show us, America, that it's really liberty and justice for all.
She raised six children of her sisters. I said, I don't know how she ever bought shoes for six children.
I just like one of them telling me that courage for him. I was very young then. They're all married, they have children, and they're proud of them too.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Now, let's see, each one has two.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
They didn't have many children. They have good jobs, and I'm very proud of them. That's what I tell you, I believe on the young generation. We should have young generation go through, all the way through. You and I, what can we do? Our young days are gone. And they're going forever. Now let's help this young generation boys and girls to fight for their freedom, for their right to have more education. Instead of spending money for war, spend them on their education. Help them get somewhere. Mm,
they're a wonderful bunch of young people too.
That's why I want this, my country, this is my country, as an American, to show us that freedom and justice for all. Not injustice, justice. We have to learn how to live with each other, how to love each other, how to get along with each other, because there are a lot of nationalities in this country, as you know it, and I know it, and you know. What's the difference what nationality I am? What's the difference what nationality she is? What's the difference what nationality you are? What's the difference what nationality with Chinese colored people? There's no sign in this world say this world is only for white, or this world is only for rich. No, this world is for everybody. If anybody thinks there's no room for us poor people, and they can't divide it. Quit being invisible, United States of America. Believe in that flag, and believe in your country as I believe with all my heart.
How can we become visible to each other?
We can't.
We can?
We can't come invisible. We do. Just like you were telling me about this boy that came over to work. From the state of, what was it?
Iowa.
Iowa. All right. They were surprised how they lived here, knew they? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't know the way they lived here. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I go to I'm too old, but I mean the young generation, like this young lady, and George and the rest of the students go over to other states.
Mississippi.
New York, why didn't they put that in the newspapers about New York, the conditions of New York? Why did they hide it? That's invisible.
Yeah.
That's what I say. We don't want no invisible America. We want the truth.
And we want
to be seen by each other, because in the Constitution it says the truth. When you go to court, it says you say the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right? If we believe in that, justice. Not injustice, justice. And that liberty, like I say, justice for all.
And all men are created equal.
And all men are created equal. And we are all born for the same purpose. When we came to this world, you didn't come to this world for a different purpose than I did, for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. The same way you did too. This other young lady did too. But why be the difference? Why should I think that I'm better than her? Why she should think that she's better than me? We're all alike. That's why we should stick together. We should say, well, if there's no room for poor, let's push them and let's make the room.
That's wonderful. There is room.
Plenty of room. This world is big and it's made for poor and rich.
And there's more poor. As Lincoln said, God must have loved the poor and made so many.
Yes, that's true. You say that with your own
life. Abraham Lincoln said that.
Abraham Lincoln was poor. Why did they put, can you tell me, why did they put his picture on the thing? You never see Abraham Lincoln on the quarters or dimes or any higher money. Why? They consider him too low. Why? Why? Because he gave the freedom to the colored people. Because he believed in freedom.
Never thought of that.
So help me God, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham Lincoln came from poor people. His father was a drunkard. He didn't want him to study because he didn't know how to read and write. But his stepmother was a teacher, and she teach him.
His own mother, too.
His own mother, too.
Nancy, she was a great
teacher.
She went taught him.
Well, when he became a president, he was a good president. But I noticed that in this country, pictures only on the paintings because they consider him is not worth it. Mm-hmm. But he, to me, he's worth it.
Oh, he's a great one.
Because that slate is coming to us and we don't want to be slaves. That slavery is no good for nobody, regardless of the color.
He also
people.
Said a nation can't be half slave and half free. That's just true.
Mm-hmm.
You're
true.
Your invisible half.
Invisible half. That's what I want this country to show, that. To show us that there's a freedom and justice for all. Because that's the Constitution. And I believe on it. And let's believe and let's speak the truth, not half. The truth.
Well, LBJ sent me, spoke an awful lie last night. What, isn't that terrible? He's calling for victory now. It's just awful.
Victory, sure. That's
victory
the word.
For who?
It's pitiful. Some of your young boys and girls. They only go to, we'll say, the poor people to junior college. Which a lot of people, they're in the dark. They're in that part of invisible part. Believe that that's enough education. My dear lady, it's not enough education. So you could say that you could get a career from that, from junior high.
Well, there isn't any reason why people like you and I shouldn't go to school, too.
Why, Stephen?
I mean, we're at the very height of our powers. I mean, I think that when you get older, you can keep learning going to school. Now, you're just in a flower of your thinking.
Thank you.
And you could learn now better than you ever could, probably. I feel that way about myself.
Yes, I do, too. Why not?
Like out in schools for...
When we love our country... You should realize and think. How many times I think of that liberty and justice for all? And I says, where is that liberty and justice for all? Where is it? Where's hiding? That's what I say. It's invisible.
Well,
but the people don't see it.
The people themselves, though, are going to have
the people themselves
don't
see it.
The rich are not going to hand it down to you.
No. No. Listen, a lot of people don't see it. You take, for instance, people, they have, they're half living on the little welfare. All right. Oh, we don't worry. We don't want to be bothered with this. We don't want to be bothered with that. Is that the way they're living on welfare? Who has it on welfare? Rich people.
It's hard for the people, the worker, to realize that he produces the wealth. I mean, you know, it's like the field workers. They produce all that great wealth for the growers.
Poor people make the rich people. Without the poor people, working people, they will be lost. But, like I said, it's beautiful to see our young ladies, our young generation, boys and girls, to come out of the university instead of going, you know, get a big, nice work or nice to be a senator, to be an engineer, to be some, to go out in the field and work. And a lot of them did came to work last year.
Well, they found out.
That is not right. What kind of an education is that? What kind of a country we have? Instead of going forwards, we're going backwards. Because we're going to go back to 1920. I guess you remember 1930, how bad it was. Wasn't it bad?
Oh, I sure did.
There were no cockroaches because there were no food.
No food.
Nobody had food. I know that, I remember. President Hoover did.
Big lines of people waiting for a bowl of soup.
Salvation Army used to feed a lot of people, and they still do. Yep. I seen women with children right there standing in line, cold, freezing, so they could get a bowl of soup. It's a shame for this country, such a powerful country, and with all that, it's supposed to be a free country, and justice, and liberty.
Well, the growers think it's a free for them.
Oh yes,
and
of course.
They take everything.
If I had a million, if I was a millionaire, I think it was free for me. But they don't think about you. They're not. They don't talk about you or me or her. They talk about themselves. We can think about ourselves and love ourselves. We have to think. I have to love you. Then I could get to help myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct or wrong?
Well, it's hard to love yourself if you're just beaten down.
You can love yourself. That's one thing a person can do. That's not correct, because if I'm going to love myself and I want everything just for myself and I don't care about the rest, that's not correct. I have to love you. I have to love her. I have to love her. Then we all get together and thanks for coming.
You have to love the growers?
The growers
too.
I would love the growers if they do the proper thing, but not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not what they're doing, because what they're doing, it's only suffering a lot of people, hungry, poor, not cold.
I see they made a bigger profit this year than ever.
Yes,
bigger profit with all this. They've been yelling about it.
You'll get some.
Their profits were greater this year than they've ever been.
Yes. You know, today at 1 o'clock it was, it's meeting over at, it's going to be Sunday. Father Kennedy, excuse me, I'm thinking about the president. Father Kenny is going to have a meeting about this. And I think he's going to show some news about it. At 1 o'clock, at 1:30 or something. 1:30? violence is not good, but sometimes if it comes to a certain point, we don't know what could happen.
So things just explode in themselves.
Just like
steam.
Steam. Because it's one of those things, like I'm telling you, people are waking up.
We should understand.
We should see. The things are so clear.
When you open your eyes.
Open our eyes, and they can see through the glasses. Put some eyeglasses.
See through other people.
Open your eyes and open your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to do, though.
It is hard.
Very hard.
Because, like I say, we're American people. We have the right. If colored people are Americans and they're getting certain chances, the rest of them. Of the rest of us are.
They're demanding it.
They're demanding
nobody, it. They didn't get it.
But there's one thing that divided them. That divided us. They can divide us.
That's the thing.
They can divide us. It's pretty hard.
You know, this division of people, like in my country, in Minnesota, they brought different nationalities there on purpose. And they would keep them so that they suspicioned each other. They'd bring the Finnish people to work in the woods. And they wouldn't let them learn English. And they'd set them against the Scandinavians, who they'd bring over to work on the railroad. And then they'd bring the Irish over. And they'd set them all at each other's throats. This was a conscious plan that they had. And it was years before they understood, you know, that they could get together. It was not until the CIO was organized in 1936 that they found out that they didn't have to fight each other, that they could fight the railroads and the U.S. Steel. But for 4 years, they had these little pockets of nationalities. Well, very much like here, where they brought the Chinese over to work on the railroads and the Japanese to work in the gardens and the fields. And set them against each other. So.
There was a Japanese boy here. I spoke to him, and I forget his name. His name is Thursmore. And I explained to him that you know that this racist folk don't count. That don't count because you know it in this country. If you start asking me what race I am, you start asking her, I start asking you, you start asking everyone, other people in this country. Yeah, this is boring. Earl, you know.
Is he from Sacramento?
Yes, he's from Sacramento.
He came around.
I heard that he says he probably have to lose his people, see what I mean? But he don't care. Because there's many people, very few of them like to. But little by little, I'm telling you, people are waking up. They're waking up. Mm-hmm. They're waking up. There's no doubt in that.
I have a friend, a teacher, and a writer, two white women who went to Japan to march in every year they march in the Hiroshima to protest the dropping of the bomb.
Yes.
And these two women marched, they were over 50 years old. They marched 160 miles with the Japanese to the shrine. This is Irene Paul. 25 miles a day. And as they passed, they were marching the Buddhist priests. And they were the only two Americans. And the women would come out of the rice field and run out and embrace them. You know, and talk to them. You know, they were so thrilled to see these two Americans, you know, who were from Peace. And then every night they'd stop at a village and then they'd have a meeting. And the whole village would come and they would feed them and then everybody would talk about the peace and the bomb. But they had such a great experience of being welcomed by these Japanese workers, you know. Just see these two white American women and they'd come out of the field, you know, so.
What it gets me more in my heart and in my mind is that how bad they're trying to get money in every way for the war and send our young boys over there to be killed instead of giving education and so they could be the future of the country because they are the future of the country. And then their children will be the other future. And
I think of the Vietnam boys, the young, 14 years old, being killed.
That's a crime war. I don't blame those boys for refusing.
No.
I would have been to refuse myself too. Because did you see, or did you ever read, or did you find out about some way that that country attacked this country some way or another? No. So there you are. Who looked for it? This country.
We're seizing everything we can. Not us. They want that oil.
By the Constitution, our young boys, they're not fighting for their country. They're fighting for the rich people.
Oil and rubber.
And rubber. For they could have more than wanted. In other words, they want everything like Hitler did. He wanted to take the whole world. That's the way he ended. All right? Our boys are not fighting for the country. Our boys will fight for the country, those people that back here, then they say, well, we defend our country. Because this is America, over there it's the...
No reason to be there.
No reason to be there. They took friends out of there, and they get in there, now they don't know how to get out.
It's not even
the gateway to Asia.
They're Chinese.
And the whole Asian, all Asian. They can't give up that cheap labor in Asia,
He claimed that, they claim, I know, that's communism, but no, that's capitalism. Take the communism out and take capitalism out.
Yeah.
There's no such a thing as communism because communists, they don't bother. Communists don't want this country. Communists. And there's no communist at all. For all I know. I've been reading quite a bit of it. There's no such a thing.
Well, that's what Hitler cried out.
What? Communist. Oh, yeah. There's just an alibi. And what it hurts me that our youngsters, they should have that chance like Mr. Kennedy did to be the future of the country. Well, who's going to be the future of the country if they don't give them enough education?
Were any of your boys in the war?
I have two nephews right now.
In the war?
Young boys. Those were in the university. They took them. They took them like that. They come back or not? I don't know. I feel sorry for my sister and my brothers. And that's why I'm telling you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful because they're only starting to live. They're trying to be somewhat. They're trying to be. They should be the future. Not the old ones. The old ones are already. Our generation is gone. That's the future. The young generation, that's the future. That will be the future. That'll be. They can make this country beautiful in the modern generation.
Oh,
they
can
give them a chance.
It's the most beautiful country in the world.
But the question is, if they give them a
chance. Well, I think they're waking up to the fact that the young people
are in the world. I see you. When young ladies like her, like George, some of them, they're married, they have their children. How are they going to educate their children if they don't have enough education to get a job where they can make enough money? Education is going hard.
besides, most of it, a lot of it is to educate you to be a capitalist. Some of that education is pretty pleasant.
That's true.
You're lucky if you get out of the university, you know, and not be blinded.
They don't teach about people a lot of times. They teach how to get somewhere.
I met a woman one day, and she popped up and she says, "I hate the Mexicans." Just like that. And I said, "Why? Can you tell me the reason?" She says, "Just because I hate them." I says, "I don't think that you don't even love yourself, lady." I says, "I hope you tell me." I says, "Even though for what you tell me," I says, "I don't need to. I just think, you know what I think of you? You're just an ignorant person. You love yourself. You think that you love yourself, but you don't even love yourself." It's true. And I told her plainly, see, because you can't say I hate so and so. It's not what you call
it.
No, he. That's one thing they shouldn't. That word they shouldn't use it. Like, you take for instance, like people. I had an English man living here for a while, and he moved from here. He went to what's the name of this district of park or somewhere around here, something. And then one day, Mr. Dillard came over. "Miss Maya, please, you have another apartment." I said, "Why?" "This, darn it," he says, "too many Negroes up there. I wish they'd kill them and throw them in the river." Just like that. Oh, boy, that was enough. I just took my fix and I said, "Look, Mr. Billy, I said, I'm getting my thing." I says, "You ever see the sign in the world where it says, 'This world is not made for Negroes, it's only for whites'?" I said, "You see, the Negroes, they have black skin, but they have a white heart. And you have the white skin, but you have the black heart." Said, "Now, get out of here." Just get out of here. See, because I don't... I says, "It's not their fault I'm born like that. You know, it has to be all kinds of different colors and nations and this. And my mother, if you would have seen my mother, you wouldn't believe she was my mother. I'm dark complexion. Mother was real light blue eyes and long hair. People used to see me with her. Who's that little girl?" My mother said, "Mine." See, I took after my Italian mother, see, my grandma. Just like her. Dark complexion. But all my family was beautiful.
She was Italian?
My father's mother.
Oh.
So I'm a mixture. But his father was Mexican. My father called himself Mexican tourist, like I said. They called us Mexicans because of the mixture. But our language is Spanish. That's our language. Because we were born from the Spanish and Indians. We can be made that.
Great mixture.
Yes. Yes. Then after, you know, when Mexico fought with France, why there were a lot of French people over there, now there are a lot of people mixed with French. A lot of mixtures. Some of those girls are so beautiful. Oh.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've seen one that came over. She has the most beautiful dark hair and her eyes green. Very light. Oh, she looks so beautiful.
Or some of that magnolia skin.
Yes, and that complexion that
you have, that kind of magnolia. It's so beautiful.
Pink. Talking about rosy cheeks and rosy natural.
Mm-hmm.
And big eyes and green. And then her hair, she comb it pink and long over here. She looked like a doll. She was half French because. You take, for instance, people. I never been in Mexico in my life. I just read a lot about Mexico, plenty. And my husband is from Mexico. state where they have the story of a the colony. That's where the Spanish people, Spanish red and paleer and all
that. That's a great red cappy. Boy, there's not even seen.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or what it is. How are you, Mr. Marcus?
I almost lost you. I thought I wasn't going to find your address. I don't know why. George was gone, and...
Is that taking a recorder now?
Yeah. Too much trouble to turn it off.
Come on.
You should have one of those things that you punch and hold in your hand, you know, and you can turn it off by not getting up. But I don't have one.
I don't know how it came right to keep themselves.
We almost got blown away coming here.
My heart.
Those little box flags, you know, they really, the wind blows them right off the road.
You think so? I really meant it from all my heart. It was right from here, see?
Well, that's where the true word
is. Yes. You speak with your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's why LBJ sounds
so good. This man over here, standing here, you speak with his heart.
I heard you made a great speech last night. I wish I had gone.
That's what I really wanted to say. I don't know why you got so bad like this. I mean.
Make one now. I don't know. I did spoke with my heart because I hate to see my country going backwards instead of forwards. We should go forwards, not backwards.
That's what you want to talk about, it, and you want to record some kind of special thing or
something like you said last night. I think it'd be good to start with your how you came here and just, you know, kind of a picture of
it. He's good in it. I like him. Marcus.
You know, like you were telling last night about how you came across from Mexico.
Marcus is pretty good in talking.
I don't know, you're all such great talkers. I feel really kind of dumb.
You should see me when I get to start Spanish. That's
oh,
when
yes, and I realize that. You're speaking in another, not your native language, mm-hmm. or your first language. Yeah. I certainly appreciate the great talk. Well, I guess it's true when you really are talking from the heart, the words come, you know. Now, LBJ, when he felt down, like, remember when Stephen was... Yeah, it makes a difference in the words.
Yes, I think it's some kind of love, I say that. Some kind of understanding or that feeling that you have. And it's in here, and you can help it. You just, when I put it out, I feel much better. Because I've met a lot of women of my age, and they don't think about this. They don't realize this. Oh, no. We made it pretty good. Last night, I had a few words with somebody. You know, I got nothing to complain. See, those are the ones who are blind. We can be in this village.
I think I'll move this little nearer. You don't have to pay any attention to it. Well, maybe it's all right here.
Are you leaving now?
No. I want to see you before you go.
Well, I tell you, then I had a hard trouble to take this woman out of this house. I couldn't get in my head.
Hey, who?
This girl. This girl.
Yes, I
am.
Shouldn't, but you have to have somebody.
When you get a hold.
Why are you shouldn't?
I don't know.
No.
one of the best ways to figure out the costume, but they've got to go.
They fly off for a very young person, the young lady.
Oh, you're not really
George, you're saying that Giovanni was regular, isn't
he? What?
Well, he cost money, saying that Giovanni
was regular. Oh, yeah, definitely cost money. Especially pleasure. Yes, nothing is free but misery.
Okay, let's start.
Sorrow.
Something. Around here and there, you know, we go to the doors and sometimes we get in time when the people is eating, we go and sit down, we go and step at the door there, you know. Just watching the people, you know, we don't ask him for it, but we were watching and the people, he can't stay eating, you know, and somebody stay there watching all the time. So they get him, give us a taco, you know, they'll say, okay, eat the taco and go home. And this is the way we grew up. We didn't starve, I mean, we were starving, but we didn't die, you know. Then I started to grow up a little bit at the time, you know, and I went shoe shining, you know. I was doing shoe shining in a rural town, especially to the American people. There was a lot of soldiers that was going to Mexico, you know, to the rural town. Got to see the senoritas, having a good time down there, you see. And I used to ask the soldiers, hey, you want shoe shine? He said, no. How about brooch? No. I'm free, I give it to you free, didn't charge you nothing. Some of the guys, okay. Some of the soldiers, it was too cheap to pay somebody that's over there. I give it to you free. It's okay, so these go for free, you know. But after I gave a shoe shine, I said, you pay me or I call the policeman. I was scared of the policeman finding, I made the guys pay me, and other times they said, sometimes you work, sometimes not. Some of the guys said, go ahead, look at Mexican, I don't care. I call the policeman. Well, I grew up myself that way, and I used to go to the bars and shoe shine in the bars. In Mexico, we got some kind of regular symbol, you know. A kid came to shine without a permit. He has to pay something to the law. Pay some kind of duties. Mm-hmm. If you don't pay the duties, you're not supposed to be shoe shining. You're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. He used to take me to jail. And he came in today, 2 days there, so that. He let me go out, you know, and I do it again. And I remember one time, it was Sunday, they had a bullfight in Mexico. When we got a bullfight, we got a lot of tourism, you know, a lot of American people to go see the bullfight. And I used to sell some of the stickers, you know, we put them for the bull, you know, to kill the bull. And big heads, a lot of fancy things like this, you know. And I mean, he gave me some of these heads, you know, and things like this to sell. And he gave me so much percentage, you know. And sometimes I do overcharge to the American people, because I know the American people is rich. I didn't know all American people could be poor. So always I thought American people, they was rich, millionaires. All they had American money. They never had Mexican money, so the people, they was rich. I was a little boy, I didn't understand the two countries, you know, at that time. So that day I make myself $50, and in the evening I went in the river and take a swim, you know. I mean, I want to take baths in the river. And there were seven guys from way south of Mexico. We call them Tajuarines, the people way south of Mexico. They wear garages, you know, they talk way different from us. And he asked me, I said, where do you live, little boy? He said, well, I live just by 7 blocks from here. He said, can you go tell your mother to give us something to eat? Because we're going towards the United States. Try to make a living. He said, no, my mother can give you nothing because we don't got nothing. I said, I don't mind, I got $50. You take me and I buy the lunch. I buy cigarettes, I buy all we need to eat. I got a 50 pesos in the morning. And one old man, he said, no, you're too little to go talk for yourself. You're too little to go face the country, to face the world, you know. So, I mean, I didn't like the man because he told me that, you know. But then there was another young guy there, and then that guy was most interested to get my money, you see. He said, look, I'll take you, but you buy all what we need, cigarettes and lunch and things like that, so we eat. I said, okay. So I buy him, and we passed the river, you know, about 12 o'clock. I don't remember exactly the day. And we started walking, you know, we passed the river, you know, we swim the river. And I remember it was awful cold at night. It was two of the guys who can swim, but it happened to me, I was good swimming, you know. So I helped the old man to pass the river, you know. And we start walking, you know, through the hills, through the canyons and things like that, you know. And every time we get, they hire one man. Then we go to the nether when they hire another man. And we're going to keep going like this, finding out another man. And every place I ask the guy farmers, you know. They give a job, they laugh, he said, you're too little for it. You didn't even know, you didn't even clean up your bottom yet, you know, you're still looking for work. Well, I just keep going with the rest of it, you know. At the last ranch, they told me it was against the law to have a junkie there, you know. because I'm supposed to be in a school by the roots of the United States, you know. Well, that's okay, so I started working by myself, you know. And then in the night I got scared, you know, because I hear so many noises, you know. And I was only just a little boy, I was only 13 years old at the time. So I was scared, I mean, crying and things like that, it's fine, and I got lost. I walk all night, but I think, it seems to me I got lost playing in one hill, I guess. Finally, I come back to the same ranch, but I didn't know it was the same ranch. So when I got across, I was in this farm, I didn't see his wife. Only thing I see is the man down there. Well, and the second time when I come back, I saw his wife and I didn't see the man. And I told the lady, you know, I lied to this lady, I said, look, lady, I got 3 days walking. And all the people in Texas speak Spanish, so Eddie understood me, you know. I said, I got 3 days walking and 3 days I don't eat nothing, so how about giving something to eat? You know, looking for work. Can you give me a job? Even if you pay me 50 cents a day, it's all right. I'll take it. All I want is work. And the lady said, I'm pretty sure my husband will give you a job when he comes, but come on and eat. So I went in there and he gave me some breakfast, you know. And I was asking myself, like, I really got too much hungry. She said, it was not because I already eaten in the night, so I didn't get much hungry. But I was asking the way so the people, he could feel sorry for me. And then some of the men come before you recognize me right away. And then I told you to stay out of my ranch, you stupid Mexican, and he slapped me.
He told me out of the ranch again. Don't stop again because I called the policeman to you. Called the immigration. So I know what the immigration was. So I said, okay, so I start running, you know.
I take off, and the day was too hot, you know, and I had a small jacket. So I throw them away. I mean, I didn't get a sense enough. I never thought I was going to need it in the night, you know. So I throw them away and I start walking. And the night it was so cold, you know. And my hands, got frost, you know. I can't move it. And so I keep walking and finally I got to the wrong highway, you know. And I don't know which way the highway go, you know. But all I did, I just start walking right on top of the highway. I don't feel, I thought my time car coming or something, he might pick me up. So one green truck is belongs to this oil company. They give me a ride. They get in, but I can't get in because I can't open the door because I can't close my hands, it was frost. So, that man, he opened the door for me, and they had the heater on, you know, in the car, in the pickup, but still it was not warm enough, you know, to warm myself. So he take me to one little town in Emma, Guara Valley. And he had one of these hits, you know, wood stove, you know. And my hands, it was kind of paralyzed, I can't move it. So I hold my hand like this and I put it right on top of the stove. And I didn't feel anything, you know, but about 2 hours later, I guess, my hands started swelling, you know. And I told the man, I said, look, my hands started swelling. And they started getting blisters all over. And I can't have to move my fingers, you know, it's too hard to move my fingers. So that man, he got some Vaseline and things like this, and he put it on my hands. And then he got a rag and he put it in my hands, you know, over my hands. And he gave me 3 days there, and then he said, look, he said, I feel sorry for you, but I can't keep you here forever because the immigration has come too much over here. And if they find you over here, then I'll be in trouble.
So what I want to do, I want to take you to another town. And also remember myself, I had somebody, I got a brother in the United States. But to me, the United States, it looked like it's one town. I mean, I never thought it was a country.
So I keep telling the man, I got one brother in the United States. He said, you live in the United States? No, but my brother lives in the United States. For what part of the United States? You know, just in the United States. So anyway, he took me to one town named Stalin City, and he told me right by the city dump. It's 1 mile on this side of the town. If you walk this way, and you take all this creek, and you get right through the neighborhood of Mexican people, and go and tell them you need help. Tell them to give you something to eat. And tell them to help you some way or another, see what he could do for you. So I start walking, then like he told me, you know, and the first, I saw a big fence there, you know, and some trucks. It belonged to the Howard Palmer. And when I went down there, I knocked on the door. And when I knocked the door, my brother was the one that opened the door, you see.
That's impossible, isn't it?
And so, after a panel with my brother, you know, I mean, I'll start crying, you know, because, you know, I feel bad, you know, and my brother, he was crying with me, and anyway, he took me to eat. And then he started getting mad with me because I ran away from home and things like that. After 2 weeks with him, and they keep telling me things, you know, I mean, you know, I know it was right. Now I understand it was right by what he was telling me, see. But at that time, I didn't want nobody to boss me around. I thought I was a man enough to take it, you see. So I told my brother, I said, look, don't tell me nothing because you're not my daddy. You're not my daddy, you're only my brother. And you're supposed to get in my back. So I don't like you. I hate you. I don't want you to tell me nothing. So anyway, he went to work and I ran away from there anymore. And I started hitchhiking. And
between the 2 weeks I was there, I keep asking people where I could find a job. Where is most of the people hang around the job and things like that.
And he told me one time the name Log Rock, Texas. And he told me which way to go. So I started going the way they pointed me.
That's a long way.
And one Mexican man, he sells candies and he sells some tequila. And he had a bunch of bottles of tequila. We call them bodegas in English, I guess. And that man, he gave a ride to Log Rock. And that man, he told me to go to the houses, you know. They know the people from their houses. He said, go and take this bottle down here. And then I come back later and collect it. So I go to the people that, you know, I had the bottle in my hand and I just go there. He said, that man down there, he said, then go this, then go here. He come back later and collect it. So finally, this man, he got rid of all these bottles, you know, and he gave me $2. And he find me one place there, you know, this old man there, he didn't let me sleep there, you know. And then that man, he took me, you know, to the pig cutting, you know. And then he took me to the potatoes and things like that. See, this man, he told me how to work a little bit, you know. But it was too wrong with me. Sometimes he gets mad with me, slap me, you know, I guess because there's something wrong to him, you know. And then I worked with some guy named Valdo Valdemar Cerillo. I worked all the cutting season and I worked at potatoes and all this crap like this, you know. So he took me back to the Rio and he gave me $30 all the time I worked for him. So I thought $30, he made a lot of money to me. You see, I said, well, hell, I'll buy a lot of candies, you know. So when I get to the pony, I was raising hell with the kids. You see, because I was a problem myself, I've been in the United States. I keep telling the kids, you know, the kids used to hang around with me when the witch is shining, you know. I said, look, I'm in the United States already, man. A beautiful country
right there, yeah, you know. A lot of people speak English, and I learned in English. I didn't even know what I was English was. I mean, I didn't want English, you know, at that time. I mean, I just learned some good things. Oh, yeah, come on, it's all my knowledge, something like that.
Huh? And the kids were really excited anyway. And I invited some of the kids to come with me to the United States. Now, one, he said, okay, I'll go with you. And then by the time I was going to come back again, he chicken up, you see, he didn't want to come. So I said, hey, what the hell with you guys, huh? I'll go by myself. So I got to the Rio and I hitchhiked for there, you know. And I started coming back to San Angelo, Texas. And Valdemar said, you used to live there. So I went with him and started working with him again. And one day we got mad, you know, because I met one girl, you know, a Mexican girl, and I asked her to take him to the show. And he didn't want to give me no money to go to the show, you know, because he said I don't have the money. You know, and I was mad. So I ran away from him. I went to Denver, Colorado with another people, you know. And I stayed in Denver, Colorado for a while. Then the immigration, they catch me, so they sent me back to Mexico. Then I come back again, after that I started liking the United States, you know. Because it seems to me like it was a good phone over here, you know. I mean, I was getting phone, you know, driving in buses and things like this, you know, to see so many people. It was good for me, you see. Then later I come back to Rollins, Wyoming. I work in Rollins, Wyoming. And one American man, you know, from Texas. He bring me the bonus with human working as a man. And he paid my hotel, you know, and under the hotel it was a cafe there. And I learned how to say hamburger and cup of coffee. So anyway, I ate 3 months. By 3 months, I eat hamburgers. All the time. I was sick and tired of hamburgers. Sometimes I go to the cafe and they even ask me what I want. All I have to do is just go and just sit down. And the ladies there, they know what I want. I met the people, they thought,
I really like hamburgers, you know. But it was hard because
I didn't know anything at all. So I thought for myself that way. One time I was sitting in the bus station and I asked one man, I had said things in English, you know. I was going to learn it, but I want somebody to teach me. This guy, by the way, he told me a bunch of things, but only thing I kept in my head, it was donuts and milk. And he gave me a couple of donuts and a glass of milk. That's all I could keep in my head. So I went to the cafe before I could get it, you know, and go and sit down and say, hey, give me a couple of donuts and a glass of milk. And the lady said, what? I mean, if you, I guess if you're so strange, I was speaking different language, you know. He said, what? I said, give me a hamburger, please, you know. I thought I did something wrong, so I changed my mind right away, you know. I said, give me a hamburger. So, you know, I was mad because I can't pronounce the things right, I guess, or even people don't understand me. So anyway, I meet Johnny Zamora, and this guy, he brought me to Scarborough, Nebraska. And then in Scarborough, Nebraska, it was a bunch of Indian girls, you know, a bunch of Indian people, you know, anyway. So I fell in love with this girl. You know, I didn't understand it, you know, but when you look one person, you could like it, you know, and when you read it, you could talk by hands, you know. And we could understand, you know, by hands, and he tried to learn how to Spanish really bit, and then that's why he made me fall in love, because he could speak a little bit of Spanish, you know. There were only about 2 or 3 words, but he made, every time he talked something in Spanish, and I mean, it made me feel so happy. So, I fell in love, he took me to the reservation, and I stayed in the reservation with the 2 Indian reservations. It was a little town named Parmalisa, Dakota, you see. And there's only 2 stores and 1 filling station there and 1 church.
South Dakota.
Yeah, South Dakota. And when I got down there, we got off of the car, you know, and I thought it was a Mexican, because he was looked just dark like me, you know. So I just went in there and checked in with everybody. Hey, como está el trabajo? How you guys doing? I mean,
how's it working? One stupid guy said, yeah. Old time keeps saying, yeah.
You know, finally, and I paid attention to him, you know, he was keeping me, said, yeah. And then I asked him a question, you know, and he said, me no comprende español. Then I found out that he can't understand Spanish, you know. So I talked for 15 minutes to the people, you know, and I thought I was making understand to me. I mean, I thought he was speaking my language too. Because I didn't know the difference of 1 Indian, you know, after 1 Mexican. I thought he was supposed to be speaking the same language. So anyway, I mean, I was stayed about 4 months there and I was sick and tired, you know. I can't talk Indian, I can't talk English, I can't talk Mexican, which nobody understands my language. But sometimes I go chop wood, you know, for the people because it's a lot of snow over there, you know. And I feel like I do something, you know, so I go and chop wood, you know. And sometimes I talk by myself, sometimes I sing it. This is the way I handle for 4 months. Finally, this Indian, this time he called me, Lila Chicha de Paola. So when he kept saying Lila Chicha Paola, I don't know what it was. But finally, I get some way to understand. He means real no good Mexican. You see? So anyway, I start saying myself, Lila Chicha de Paola. Something like that, you know. So a lot of times, you know. And then, Lila Guayete de Paola. This means real good Mexican. Oh, Lila Guayete de Paola, you know. And then I started thinking myself, okay, Lila Chicha de Paola, it means, we're not good Mexican. Lila Chicha la Cota, I know Cota means Indian, you know. Really not good Indian. And he came back with me and I keep telling him, really not good Indian, you know. But anyway, he was playing with me that way, and the people started to get offended with me. He started teaching me, this is a glass, this is a cup, this is an egg. And things like this, and then he started teaching me English too, in the meantime. what's the name of this park, you know, what's the name of this, the glass, are you saying in Indian, are you saying in Spanish, and everything like that.
Finally,
tell
me about
a
full moon land to learn. When I come out of there, I'm speaking English and Indian. I come back to Chicago, Nebraska, you know, and I make a few
Mexican friends there. And sometimes I mix the English and Mexican and Indian, you know. He said, wait a minute, what language are you talking about, you know? But I mean, this is what to keep practicing or to keep learning, you know. I mean, don't forget it, you know. Funny nowadays, I forgot the Indian language, you know, but I still got the English. What's the reason for it?